Okay, we're up to Perek Mem Hei Pasuk Ches. Now, before we go to Perek Ches, I want to review one idea per Pasuk Zayin. Yoytze Arvoy Choshech Oseh Shalom Uvoyrei Ra. We once spoke about this. This Pasuk was extracted by the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah and incorporated into the Nusach HaTfilah. The beginning of Birchas Yoytzer are every day after Baruch Hu, we say something very similar. Yoytzer Arvoy Choshech Oseh Shalom Uvoyrei Es Hakoil. We don't want to mention Ra. Chazal was sensitive to Ra, so they were meshaper the Lashon with the expression of Voyre es Hakol. Now, we once discussed this in more detail, but just want to just review it very quickly, that in the time, you probably know the terms, I'm not familiar with all the different types of religion, but during the time of Koresh, when this is being said, the world went through a transformation in their pagan beliefs. Until the time of Koresh, through the time of Bavel, there were thousands of gods, all different types of gods. There's a god for happiness, a god for depression, a god for sadness, a god for this, a god for a cloudy day, a god for a day where the sun is shining, a god for when it rains, and for thunder and for lightning. Every different facet of life had its own god. And there were hundreds, thousands, millions of gods. It came a point in time where the world matured to a certain degree. It's a certain degree of maturity where they came to realize it can't be there so many gods. Just can't be. And they progressed, kaviyachol, it's hard for, I mean, the term is relative, to a point where there are only two gods. There is a god of good, and a god of evil.
Now that, they merge.
What?
Take over by
it was, there was a merger, exactly.
A merger.
Corporate America. There was a merger, and I guess there were a lot of lawyers that made a lot of money on billing for all the various lawsuits and litigation that went into this process, this mergers and acquisition process. And they basically reduced all of the hundreds of thousands of gods into two gods, the god of good and the god of bad. And what is that called?
Darkness also.
What?
They also became god of light.
Right, so light was part incorporated into the good god. And the darkness was the evil god. And everything had to fit into one of these two categories. Belish shem yotze min haklal. It's called something with a Z. Does anyone know the expression?
Zoroastrianism. It was a Persian thing.
Exactly. That, you have to study religion, the history of religion, and that it was a tkufa, it was a gradual process where they abandoned multiple gods, and everything was merged into two gods. This was unique to the time of Koresh, Persians. Exactly. Parasumadai. And that is these psukim. Remember, we're dealing with Perek Mem Hei. Perek Mem Hei is the perek that discusses, deals with Koresh in very great detail. Here, Kadosh Baruch Hu is speaking what's going to be, and there's a lot of allusion of Schwab. It's very heavy. Yes, it's fascinating if you can to read Rav Schwab on this perek. This is an awesome perek. How he, everything he writes is incredible. But over here, how he describes, he has a lot of original chidushim and how he interprets many of the psukim here, different than Rashi and the basic commentaries in the Mikros Kedolos of the Radak and the Mitzudos and so on and so forth. He reads everything into the time period of Koresh, the Persians, and that's exactly what Yeshaya here is coming to address in this pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're making a mistake. He's saying it's very good. You've made progress. You've come to realize that there are not thousands of gods. There has to be less. There's only less. But you're still making a mistake in thinking that there are two gods. A god for good, god for evil. Light represents the good god. Dark is the evil god. Incorrect. There is only one god. If you read, go back to Pasuk Vav. L'man yedu mimizrach shemesh mimarav. From the east to the west. From the time the sun rises to the sun sets. Ki efes bilodai. There is only one god. There are not two gods. Ani Hashem v'ein ot. It is I and there is no one else. Yitzer or Uvarei Choshech. It is only one God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He creates, he forms light, he creates darkness. Oseh Shalom, he creates peace, which represents good. Uvarei Ra, and he creates evil. Ani Hashem Oseh Kol Eila. This is a direct attack on their philosophy of religion, of their ideology at this point in time, which again was a good thing. It was a good thing relative to the past. The world was maturing in its belief. I mean, today, I mean, you take it for granted to a certain degree. Monotheism, the world to a very large degree. I mean, you know, we have the different religions, but ruba de ruba, it's something which is understood, this concept that there's only one God. But it was not a given at this point in time. And here is where Yeshaya is coming to attack them with this idea. It's I, Hashem, that has created everything. There's, Hashem is the source of everything in this world. Okay, Pasuk Ches.
I'm surprised they didn't kill him on the spot.
Well, they who says they didn't? Okay. It was supernatural koichos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected him. I mean, all the Nevi'im. Yirmiyah was nearly killed many times. He's thrown into the dungeon. They pulled out his beard. They ridiculed him. They tortured him. And Yeshaya doesn't appear much better. I mean, he was better, but wasn't an easy job being a prophet. Pasuk Ches Harifu Shamayim Mimal. Okay, now we continue the steam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is like a take from the pasuk of Hazinu. Hazinu Hashmayim Vader V'Sishmaris Yaroif Kama Tor Lekhi Tizal Katal Imrasi. Similar expression. There is dripping where the heavens drip with water, drip with rain, and when the rivers flow with water. So here is the same idea. Harifu Shemayim Mimal, let the heavens drip from above. Ushachakim, and the Shachakim is also the heavens. Here we're now referring to this also is another word for the heavens. Yizlu Tzidik, let it flow with righteousness. Tiftach Eretz V'yifru Yesha, let the earth open up and let it blossom with salvation. Utztaka Tatzmiach, and righteousness will blossom, yachad, together with salvation. Salvation, when there is salvation, people have a desire to do good, to serve Hashem in a proper way. Ani Hashem berosiv, it is I, Hashem, that has created this possibility for there to be salvation, for there to be righteousness. Now, what is this pasuk referring to? So we have to remember, everything here is to be understood within the time period of Koresh. Koresh was the one that told the Jewish people, it's time for you to return to Eretz Yisrael and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It was a great moment of salvation. When the Bais Rishon was destroyed, there was this specificity. It's hard for us to relate this because we're living in Galus for almost 2,000 years. And we've survived in Galus for almost 2,000 years. So, what's the big deal? Okay, so Galus is Galus. You live in this land. You live. Unfortunately, there have been terrible tragedies, expulsions, and Inquisition, and Crusades, and Holocaust. But we, it's in our blood that Jewish people can and will survive as a whole. The Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker will get through Galus. At this point in time, that was people didn't know what would be because this was the first time that they were exiled. Many people believe it's over. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. This didn't happen. They've been living in Eretz Yisrael for 800 years. They came into Eretz Yisrael. They came into Eretz Yisrael. There was Gilgal and Shiloh, 369 years, and Nova Givon. They're Beis HaMikdash, but they lived in the land. Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people. There was a Beis HaMikdash. All of a sudden, the Mikdash was destroyed. First of all, no one even believed. It was impossible. It was impossible that the Mikdash would be destroyed. The Shekhinah was sure. The Shekhinah was tangible. You can touch the Shekhinah Kaviyach. It will be destroyed. Hashem is going to abandon Eretz Yisrael after all this, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, after all these miracles, after all these years. Impossible. It happened. The impossible happened. The Shekhinah left. The Mikdash was destroyed. And worse than that, the Jewish people, the survivors, were exiled. And there was no one living in the land for 52 years. Many people felt it's over. The world has come to an end, and there will never be a nation of Klal Yisrael again. Okay, so there are some stragglers. They go to Bavel. They're observant. They're stubborn. They do the mitzvos. They have a shul, but it's over. I mean, that's and all their prophecies that they will return. They didn't have like we living 2,000 years later. We take for granted. Of course we're going to survive. Klal Yisrael as a whole, of course we're going to survive. And the Mashiach will come eventually. At one point, it's like Pasha to us. But it wasn't Pasha to them 2,000 years ago. And here, this was an incredible event where after 70 years in Bavel, relatively speaking, a short period of time, All of a sudden, Koresh says, Jews, go home. It's yours. Go back. I'm giving you, I control the world. He was the king of the entire world, Koresh. You can go home. Go back to Eretz Yisrael. Pick yourself up. I give you permission to build a Beis HaMikdash. You can go. Gezun to hate. That's what it says over here, is exactly that, that the earth will open up and the Yifru Yesha, salvation will blossom. It was an awesome time. Utstoka Tatzmiach, righteousness. People had a desire to do tzedek, do what's right, in the eyes of Hashem, to do tshuva, to return to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. This will blossom together with the awesome salvation that will occur at this point in time. Ani Hashem Berasiv, it is I Hashem that have created this. I have given you this possibility to recuperate from the ultimate Chorban of the Bayis Rishon. I am allowing this to happen. And this is exactly what has happened during the time of Koresh. Fine. Now, we'll go to Pasuk Tes. Now, Pasuk Tes, I'm going to do it according to Mitzvus and Rashi, and then I'll tell you how Rav Schwab is it's fasting, how he interprets all the Pesukim here according, based upon the timeline of the events that happened during the time period of Koresh. Hoi. So first, let's go very simple. Hoi, woe. Here, we're changing gears. We're shifting gears a little bit. Hoi, Rav, Al Yotro. Woe to those people that complain. Rav, Al Yotro. Rav means to quarrel with their creator. According to Rashi and the Mitzudos, it refers to Bavel. We're continuing this time period. Modai, Parasu Modai. This is the nation, the two nations. There was an alliance. So there was an alliance between Parasu Modai. The agreement was that they would alternate power. One nation would provide the king, and the other nation would provide the governors. And then after a period of time, they would switch. The king would go to the other nation, and the governors would come from the other nation. So the first was Modai. Modai, they, Daryovish HaModai, not to be confused with Daryovish, the Persian. But there was someone called Daryovish HaModai. He was the king of Modai, and he was the first leader in the alliance of Modai Uparas. And the governors came from Paras. And then, after a period of time, which is not exactly, I'm not exactly sure, probably documented, recorded somewhere, the exact shift, after a period of time after he died, then Koresh became the Melech, the Padish, the power was shifted to Koresh, he became the king, and the governors were taken from the nation of Modai. Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes that after Koresh died, who should have become the new king? Modai. But it never happened. Para Persians were corrupt, and once they took power, they were not willing to relinquish that power, and it stayed. The Malchus, the highest authority of government, remained under their control through all the kings, Achashverosh, Daryovesh, and I don't remember all the names. We'll learn all the names. All the different kings from Paras took control. They refused to relinquish their power, and it stayed with them. So here we're discussing this alliance of Paras and Modai, how they are going to destroy Bavel. Bavel lasted for 70 years, and the first king was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the son of Baladan. Baladan, Baladan was a king that was during the time of Sancheirif. He was a weak power. But the first king that controlled the world was Nebuchadnezzar. Then came Evel Merodach, and the third king of the 70 years was Belshazzar. So here we're referring to Belshazzar, the third king, that the arrogance of Belshazzar, the king of Bavel, he made a party after 70 years. We know this from the Purim story. He was confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would no longer redeem his people, even though all the prophets predicted after 70 years there would be a Geula. 70 years, he made a calculation, and his calculation was incorrect from the time of the rise of Bavel, and nothing had happened since Bavel came to power. And therefore, he made a party, he took out the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he mocked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not going to redeem your children. That's here what the Pasuk refers to, that is Rav Al Yotro. He's coming to quarrel with his creator. Belshazzar is mocking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his creator, and he's saying, oh, look at this. We conquered, it's been 70 years, nothing is happening. They'll never return, and they're doomed. So Hashem here responds immediately, you are nothing. Balshetzar, you're a piece of broken pottery. Human being is made is Choymer Biyat HaYotzer. It's clay. The clay, it's earth and water. Hashem made man by taking earth and mixing with water and blowing his breath into this piece, this clay. So Hashem says, you, Balshetzar, you're a cheres es charse adama. You're a piece of pottery, a broken, a cheres means a broken piece of pottery, among a lot of broken pieces of pottery. If an utensil that shatters, it shatters to little tiny pieces, you're just one of many little pieces. Hayoymer choymer liyoytzro. Does the broken piece of pottery have the chutzpah to say to the potter, to the creator, the craftsman, matase, what are you doing? You don't know what you're doing. Ufa olcha ein yodayim lo, and your work has no hands. Now yodayim means mokom. It has no function. The words yodayim is yodayim. Yodayim means literally hands, but here it means in the broader context, you have a. It has no function. Yodayim, hands are the part of the body which function, which do things, which move. Your work has no function. You created Klal Yisrael. You invested in them. You did for them miracles in Mitzrayim. You took them out of Egypt, brought them to Eretz Yisrael. You built them a Beis HaMikdash in the time of the Shoftim and the Nevi'im. And look how easy it was. We came along, my grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, he wiped out the people. He took him into Galus. We had Evel Meroidach came along. Then came me. Look, success. Hashem, Ribbono Shloilam, your work of Olcha in your Yadayim Lo. So Hashem over here is mocking him. What a chutzpah that he talks to me like that. Pasuk Yod. Hoy, whoa, Oymer Lo'ov. This was said with an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was complaining. What an arrogant mechutzif to talk to me like that. He just sees a teeny little slice of time of history. Pasuk Yod. Hoy, whoa, Oymer Lo'ov. Woe to a person that says to their father, Ma toilet. Why did you give birth to me? Why did you cause that I should be born? Uli Isha. And woe to a man that says to his mother, Isha here means his mother, Matichilin, why did you go through the process of birth pangs, of Chevle Leda, that I should be born? Because, you know, the end, what's the end? The end is, I'm going to die. So if I'm going to die, so you just wasted your time in raising me and causing that I should be born. That's a foolish thing, because a person obviously is productive in his life, and that person himself has children and continues throughout many generations. So this individual, Balshetzar, is a fool. He's a fool because he looks at a little teeny fragment of time, a little teeny small little piece of the picture. He sees at this moment in time his success he has in his possession, the Kelim Beis HaMikdash, and the Jewish people are in Galus, and he thinks it's all over. He's a fool. It's like a person says to a parent, why did you give birth to me? I'm going to die. So that's just one little piece of the puzzle. What about all of the things that you can, all of the productivity that you have, that you do during your life, how you contribute to society? What about the fact that you also have children and you have grandchildren? You're focusing on one little teeny detail that's nonsense in the big picture of things. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Koyama Hashem, so says Hashem, Kadosh Yisrael. Well, let me just maybe we'll see some of the Rashis. There are some interesting Rashis over here, some Midrashim. Let's run to Pasuk Tes. Okay, Pasuk Tes in Rashi. Hoy, woe, Rav Al Yisra. So I told you according to the simple interpretation. Now this according to Rashi is a medrash. As we always mention, that Rashi is extremely midrashic when it comes to Nevi'im. Chumash, Rashi is more pshat. Rashi in Yeshaya especially is heavy into medrash. Nisnabi Yeshaya Al Chavakuk. Over here, Yeshaya is saying prophecy about Chavakuk Hanavi. He's one of the treyos, one of the treyosar. She'os lamud v'likros tagu al orech hatzlochos shel Nebuchadnezzar, and he's going to complain. Chavakuk will complain to Kadosh Baruch Hu, why did you give Nebuchadnezzar such success? Chavakuk complained. So here Hashem said, Chavakuk, you are not looking at the big picture. You're only looking at a small slice of time. Al hatzlacha shel Nebuchadnezzar ad ona Hashem. And he's quoting from the pasuk of Chavak. Ad ona Hashem shavati. How much do I have to cry out to you? That the goymer v'tase. He's taking little segments of the little piece of the pasuk v'tase adam kidgayam. Basically, he was complaining. I don't even prepare those pesukim, but basically, he's complaining that Chavakuk is complaining to Kadosh Baruch Hu that you're giving Nebuchadnezzar unusual success. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Amar LiYeshaya, Lama Ze Ba Lariv Iti. Why is he coming to complain to me, this person, the Chavakuk? Savor Hu She'ini She'ini Sam Alev LaYeshias Ami LaIs Molos Asher Tirtza Aretz Eshav Seisecha. Doesn't he know that the time will come when I will redeem my people? I know it's a long goal. 70 years is a long time. Kol Shekein, 2,000 years is a much longer time. The time will come when I'll redeem my people. The earth has to rest. The earth has to be repaid for the violations, that the sins that were done during the tenure that the Jewish people were there. But here, that's the interesting medrash that Kadosh Baruch Hu here is complaining not necessarily against Baal Shetzar, which is the way the Mitzudos learns. That's how I told you the Mitzudos, he's coming to complain against Chavakuk. Okay, Ein Yudayim Lo, Ein Mokom Lo, as I told you, Ein Yudayim Lo, Yudayim Rashi says Mokom. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no place. A person needs, a very interesting idea, a person needs a Mokom. Every individual, you have to have a place in life. And I translate it loosely, a purpose. Yudayim means function. It means more than that. Yadayim, Yod Tihi Eloi, it says by war, you should have a place for a Beis HaKiseh. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says Yod, and there it's interpreted to mean you should have a special place designated for a Beis HaKiseh in order to keep your machaneh clean, tahar. So here it's the same exact thing in Polcha, in Yadayim Lo, where how dare a little piece of pottery tell the creator that you don't know what you're doing, that your work has no place. Your creation has no market. You create pots, and no one wants to buy. No one wants to take these pots into their home. Okay, the next Rashi. Then we go. Then he goes on to... We'll leave with that. And then so one other idea from Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab interprets his psukim in reference, his own interpretation appears, in reference to the time period of Koresh. And he says something very interesting. He says that the people, the Jewish people at the time, are the ones that are complaining. So far, this interprets possibly from the perspective of Belshazzar. Then we had Rashi that was complaining about Chavakuk. Rav Schwab says, the ones that are complaining are the Jewish people themselves. And they're saying, wow, look at this. I mean, it's a terrible thing. Well, look what's happening here. Koresh is giving us permission to come back and build a Beis HaMikdash. It's not the real... What's the purpose? That's not a real Geula. We're going to go back. First of all, we don't have the means to go back. Only 42,000 Jews went back. We learned that was only 5% of the Jewish population. What could 5% of the Jewish population accomplish in Eretz Yisrael? We know the Bayis Sheni, there were no miracles. The Shechinah did not return. There was no Oron. There was no Kapores. What's the purpose of building a nice Beis HaKnesses? And they viewed the people who returned from Golos, they viewed the Beis HaMikdash as just a nice Beis HaKnesses. It's not the real thing. People that were there when they inaugurated the Bayis Sheni were crying when they saw the inauguration of the Bayis Sheni. It was nothing from what they remembered from the grandeur and the Kedusha of the Bayis Rishon. So the people here were complaining, Rav Es Yotzro, the people that were complaining were the Jewish people. They said, Ribbono Shel Olam, this is not the Geula we want. We want all or nothing. If we're not going to have a Geula Shlema like we had the Bayis Rishon, we're not going to have the Melech HaMashiach, there's no purpose in coming back to Eretz Yisrael just to build a nice building and make believe everything is fine. Klal Yisrael. So Hashem here responds to them and says to them, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. You don't understand that even though it's true, it's not the Gula Shlema, the Shechina is not going to return, you're not going to have the Aron, the Kaparis, and so on and so forth. The Bayis Sheni served a very important function for the survival of Klal Yisrael through Golos. That's a lot of this is discussed in Tisha B'Av. Either the Bayis Sheni those that it was known the Bayis Sheni was not going to be permanent, and the Bayis Sheni wasn't the Geula Shleima. According to many opinions, the Gemara says that according to many opinions on Tisha B'Av, during the time of the Bayis Sheni, they fasted. Tisha B'Av, there are two opinions in the Gemara on Tisha B'Av. What do we fast on Tisha? Because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. During the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they also fasted on Tisha B'Av. Why? Because this is not the real Beis HaMikdash. This is a base, it's a nice building. We bring korbanos. But the Shechina is not here. We're missing. It's not the real thing. They fasted Tisha B'Av during the time of the Bayis Sheni. It's a fascinating idea. So Hashem says, I know it's not the real thing, but you don't understand that this Beis HaMikdash that will exist for 420 years will give you strength to survive the next 2,000 years. If there would not be a Beis HaMikdash on this lower level, then you would never make it. It was a degree of chizuk for Klal Yisrael for the next 2,000 years. And that's what Hashem over here is telling Klal Yisrael, don't tell me what to do. You're complaining, Rav Ali, woe to Rav Shabbos' temptation, woe to the Jewish people here at the time of Kairosh. When he tells everyone, go home, you can go home, go build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Jewish people, they say, Ribbono Shel Olam, what's the big deal? What kind of geula is this? This is ridiculous. Hashem says, don't tell me, don't complain to me. Woe to you that complain to Yotro. You're just a cheres. Your words are nonsense. You're looking at just a small little teeny fragment of the big picture. I see in front of me the whole history of time, the whole Klal Yisrael, what they need, and this is something which is necessary for the survival of Klal Yisrael, the Geula, on this scale down level. Pasuk Yirav, Chayam Hashem Kedosh Yisrael V'Yotro, so is Hashem, the Holy One of Yisrael V'Yotro, Ho'osiyo She'aluni. So this goes back to a theme that we mentioned, I think, at least 2-3 times in the previous parakim, not so long ago, where Hashem challenges the false prophets. He challenges each other. Now again, according to Rav Shrav, you have to take this during the time of Kairosh. During the time of Kairosh, again, we just mentioned it was a new religion, where there were only two gods, and obviously in this new religion, there were new prophets. There were new false make-believe priests. A whole new religion came into existence. This, by the way, was like 500 years, at least 500 years before Christianity came into existence. So, during the time of Quraysh was not... It was way before, so there were also these magicians and priests and all of these Meshugayim running around, claiming that they now have a full understanding of religion. Hashem says, really? You understand religion? Let's see if you can predict the future. The only one that is a true understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my nation, the Nevi'im, Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Yecheskel, the Triyasa. They know what's going on. They can tell you things that will happen in the future. They can predict the future. But you false prophets, you cannot... The Ho'osios She'aluni. Ask me signs. Ask me to give you signs about what will happen in the future to my people, al bonai, concerning my children, the al poal yodai, the work of my hand, the al poal yodai titzavuni. Well, this is the question, and then how you dare to command me and to tell me? It's going back to the previous tupsukim. You dare to command me how to conduct my business. How to tell me what to do at this point in time? Let's see the Mitzudos for a more precise interpretation of this pasuk. Pasuk get off the Mitzudos. Ho'osio she'aluni. Omar neged ho'akum. This pasuk is addressing the akum, the oved, koichavim, umazolos, the idolaters. Sha'aluli ho'asidos lovoi al yisrael lagidlechem. Ask me about the future. I'll tell you. Al bonai ba'avur yisrael shem bonai pol yodai titzavu. Ba'avuroi, so here titzavuni means commit. According to the Mitzudos, it means simply command me titzavu ba'avuro lahanavim. I will command on their behalf the prophets. Sheyomu lochem b'shmi ma yeh b'sofim. I will command my prophets to reveal things about the Jewish people that will happen to them in the end of days, to show that they are my chosen one. So titzav. So if you read the pasuk again, Kol Hashem Kol Yisrael V'yotzo Yisrael Shalom, he asks me questions about signs. Albana v'alpol yodai titzavuni, command me. I'm giving you permission to command me to reveal things about my nation to prove to you that they indeed are the chosen nation. Okay, let's go further. One more pasuk. I'll just try to come until the pay, until the pasuk Gidal very quickly. Anochi asisi eretz. Hashem says, I created the earth. V'adam olecha barasin. I created man upon it. Ani yodai natu shemaim. I have stretched out the heavens. V'chol tzivam tzivesi. And I have created the hosts, all of the stars, all the heavens. Pasuk Gimel. Anochi hei rosiu v'tzidik. I have awakened it. I have awakened the earth with righteousness. This refers to Koresh. I have awakened this individual Koresh to do what is right, to tell my people to return to their land. V'chol d'rochav ayasher, all of his ways. This refers to Koresh. He will be extremely successful in everything that he does. L'mala miderech hateva. And all of his ways, ayasher, all of the crooked, the impediments, the stumbling blocks that are in front of Koresh, I will straighten out. I will make it easy for him to be successful. Hu yivne iri, he will build my city. He will be the one. Now this was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we had this before, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intent was. This was the original goal, that Koresh should take an active role in building Yerushalayim, in building the Beis HaMikdash. He himself should send his craftsmen. He should spend his own money. He himself shall build my city. V'golusi yishaleach. And my exiles, the Jewish people, he shall send forth. He shall send for them planes, boats, cars, transportation to go to Eretz Yisrael. Lo yivimichiv lo b'shoichad. For free. Not for a price. Not for a bribe. They will not have to do anything in return to convince Koresh to allow. No lobbying. You don't have to go to Washington and lobby and beg and promise, we'll elect you, we'll do this for you, we'll do that for you. This is what I want Koresh to do out of his goodwill. Omar Hashem Tzivakos. And we learned in the beginning of the parak. The beginning of the parak was Hashem, he complains to his Mashiach. To Melech HaMashiach, I complained about this man Koresh. I had big plans for him. I wanted him to take an active role, and he is a failure. He did not take an active role. The only thing he did was, he allowed, if you want to go home, go home. The gates are open. I'll instruct my people to stamp the papers to let you go. Spend your own money, and find your own transportation. I'm not going to hold you back. But I'm not going to take an active role. And that's what that ties together the beginning of the parak to these psukim over here. That was the complaint that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said about Koresh. Okay, so we'll stop here with Pasuk Yudalit.